Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, fellow actors, ladies and gentlemen, and all the ships at sea. This is William Powell, your host of Inside Acting. Let me introduce my fantastic co-host,
Nadia Williams.
And let me say that this show is brought to you by DC Actors Examiner, most easily found by Googling DC Actors Examiner. Tonight we've got a fantastic show tonight, folks. We've got Aaron Marcus, acting and modeling guru. This will be his third time on the show. He was just on last week. He's going to be conducting a mini workshop, and he's going to be taking questions from a couple of young up-and-coming actresses in the area, and they were going to be shooting him a lot of questions during the show tonight. Also, I want you to mark your calendar. June 7th, we're going to have Oscar nominee Sally Kirkland on the show. She's been in over 100 films, including films like The Sting, The Way We Were, JFK. I mean, the list just goes on and on. She was nominated for an Oscar for a film called Anna back in the 80s. And she still continues to work. So mark your calendars for that. And let me ask you, Nadia, how was your week?
Oh, it's been going pretty well. I am vamping up soon to work on Vampires Rise of the Fallen. So I'm really glad I got a schedule for that and looking forward to it. But how about your week?
Pretty good, pretty good. Yeah, I'm glad that you got a role in that movie. I was able to participate in the 48-hour film festival this weekend in the D.C. area. And what that is, for those of you who don't know, it's basically a film competition, and typically the films are anywhere between about 4.5 to 6 minutes. And this particular film was produced by a lot of good folks that work over at America's Most Wanted, and I was able to actually do a scene with John Walsh of America's Most Wanted. It was very interesting.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the
wow.
Yeah, the premise of the movie was I played a bomb technician from the city of Denver, and I think I have I get this note from the letter from the hospital, basically saying I'm terminal. I have 24 hours to live, so I basically spend the movie trying to find somebody to replace me. It's a dark comedy, and I just stop people on the street to say, "You want to be a bomb tech?" It's kind of a dark comedy. The scene I did with Mr. Ross, it was in near his office. He has a wardrobe closet, and basically he was a bomb tech, too, in the movie. And we're standing there in the closet holding a bomb, and I have pliers in my hand, and I'm shaking. And he looks at me, and he says, "I have just one question for you. Is it the red wire or the blue wire?"
Classic.
And I wind up cutting the red wire, and we high five. You know, we survived. So that was, I thought that was a pretty funny scene.
When is it going to premiere in D.C.?
It will premiere tomorrow night in Silver Spring, Maryland at 7 p.m. It will be among the first films actually shown. And it will be at the AFI Theater in Silver Spring, Maryland, Colesville Road.
Ah, very cool. I did the 40-hour film festival for Baltimore last year, and it was really cool seeing the film at the Charles. And it was my first time seeing myself on the big screen, so that was a very unique experience.
Wow. Yeah, it'll be my second time. Okay, so why don't you go ahead, Nadia, and fill us in on a little bit of news.
Well, the big news this weekend is, over $200.3 million. Let's put it that way. The Avengers is smashing box office records, and the all-star Marvel Comics team managed to reach 200.3 million debut in U.S. theaters over the weekend.
Wow.
So, yeah. Definitely blasted way past the previous record of $169.2 million for Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2, which was in 2011.
Wow.
The Sydney blockbuster blends Iron Man, The Incredible Hulk, Thor, and Captain America. And it actually opened earlier, a few days earlier, overseas. So now the worldwide take is $641.8 million.
That's unbelievable. That's incredible. And it's very highly – the critics love it. I mean, that's another thing, too. The critics just love it.
Yeah. And, I mean, and that's – you know, it's wonderful for a big production like this to get such critical acclaim. And it's directed by Joss Whedon, who I adore from, you know, Buffy the Vampire Slayer fame, and Robert Downey Jr., Chris Evans, Mark Ruffalo, Scarlett Johansson. You know, it's also set in New York City, which has its own kind of starring role. And a lot of it is, you know, it's an epic alien invasion that takes place in Midtown. And much of the movie's action was around Grand Central Terminal and through Central Park, Staten Island Ferry. And I know Joss Whedon is a New York native. So, you know, it's kind of nice, I guess, to come home and work in your hometown to make such a great film. But, I mean, tons of fans. All the theaters across the city, the fans were lined up around the block. They were dressed up in their favorite superhero outfits. I think one fan I read said, "This is the Citizen Kane of geeky coolness."
I think that says it all. Okay, it looks like our guests have some of our guests have dialed in. I have they look like I've got Aaron Marcus and Kristen Thompson. Hey, Aaron and Kristen.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, William.
Fantastic.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thanks for dialing in. Okay, so basically the idea tonight is, Aaron, well, first of all, because we have one more guest that's supposed to be joining us, and I do not see her on the board yet. So to fill in a little bit of time, Aaron, why don't you talk about your workshop you had last weekend?
Oh, it was wonderful. It's something that I only get a chance to do twice a year in the Baltimore area. And basically, these workshops are geared for teaching people how to have the success they desire. And I bring in some great industry professionals, producers, casting directors, photographers, actors, and really give people a very realistic and honest approach for either how to get started, find representation, audition, get work on your own through marketing, or advance your career as well. And so it's always nice not to have to get on a plane and sleep in hotels and actually drive to a location, do a workshop, and come home that night. So it was wonderful. I had a great time.
That's good. That's fantastic. Okay, what we're going to have you do, Aaron, is, if you don't mind, is we're going to have you put on about a 5 to 7 minute, like a little mini lecture, and then we're going to have Kristen and Najiba. They're going to ask you some questions, and, of course, Nadia and I will ask you a few questions as well. But before we do that, let me see if I can get Najiba to join us here. Let me see if I can dial in here and see if she'll join us. Just give me a second here.
Hello.
Hey, Najiba, how are you? You're on the air.
Oh, hi.
Hey. All right, say hello to everybody. We got Aaron Marcus, Nadia Williams, Kristen Thompson.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello, everybody. This is Najiba.
Hi, this is
Aaron. Okay. Okay, now before we get started, let's just go ahead and well, everybody knows me and Nadia, and I think the audience pretty much knows Aaron Marcus. Najiba, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself, and then Kristen, you as well, and then Aaron, why don't you just go right into your lecture?
Okay, I was just going to ask, is there anything specific you would like me to talk about?
I want you to...
Or if you want your guests, other guests to ask, you know, if there's any areas that you want me or any callers, if there are certain topics. You tell me.
Yeah, what I was thinking is it would be sort of like your standard spiel when you hold a workshop, basically just right off the top, basically how actors and models can get work specifically in the Baltimore, D.C. area. You just start off just talking about that in
okay.
general terms. And then from there, we'll just generate questions out of there. Does that sound
okay.
like a plan?
Absolutely. Sounds
okay.
Good.
Okay. Okay, Najiba, go ahead. Introduce yourself.
Okay. Well, my name is Najiba Almaty. I guess I've officially started pursuing acting about two years ago. And since then, I have been in military industrial with Will Interactive, where I played a character called Lindsay, and it was basically an interactive video telling military professionals what and what not to do, you know, as they're in their training program. And I've also done an Infinity commercial for Infinity of Ellicott City, and there I did some background work. I was also a background extra for an HBO film called The Game Change, and recently I was in Maxim magazine. They did a feature editorial story on some girls from Washington, D.C., basically, and they picked about 18 girls to feature. And it was basically like a two-page spread, pretty much, on, you know, models in Washington, D.C., which was really cool. And other than that, I've done a couple of musicals, like community theater type of musicals. And I'm also a singer as well, but I kind of put that on the back burner to pursue acting, but not completely. You know, I just put it on hold for a moment to see what I can do in this genre.
Wow, that's I've looked some of your credits online, and they just take up pages. It's just incredible. Okay, Kristen, you're on.
Hi, everybody. My name is Kristen Thompson, and I have been, I guess, acting now for off and on for about 5 years, more so as a hobby, and something, I guess, my little side hustle, I call it, for extra money. Started modeling about 2 years ago and taking it more seriously, and have been doing a lot more in the commercial modeling realm. I'm at this point of my career, I'm trying to take it a lot more seriously, and I'm at a crossroads now and trying to determine whether to make the jump of going full-time or, you know, to maintain that part-time, which is always, I know, a little scary for everybody who's about to transition to that area. So I'm really excited about hearing what Aaron has to say, and I'm so bummed that I missed his seminar last weekend. I had plans to come and actually had a job booked, so, which is a good thing, but trying to find that balance of classes and continuing to, you know, broaden, I guess, my expertise and feeding the educational part of the career is, you know, always a delicate balance. So, but I too, is it Nadija? Am I saying it right? I'm sorry.
Najiba,
I'm sorry. Have done a lot in terms of commercials when it comes to acting, and I really like that part of acting more so than, you know, it's theater side or even film. So I've done CarMax commercials, Dick's Sporting Goods, local spots for a spa, print modeling work for jewelry designers, local jewelry designers, things of that nature. That's been my most recent things. And then, of course, the Geico commercial with William.
Yes.
That was a lot of fun. So I'm really excited to hear to be on the show. What's that?
I said, I forgot that. And all the excitement. Okay, Aaron, go ahead. You're on.
Okay. Well, first of all, I mean, those experiences sound great, and you know what? I'm glad to hear that you took the job. Look, the workshops, you know, are always around a couple times a year. I also offer private online coaching, or for people who live anywhere in the Baltimore, D.C. area, I can do a personal, you know, private coaching session as well, where basically
excellent.
I gear the session around the person. And so we talk very specifically about what you're looking for. I can help you put together the right photos, show you some very specific techniques to use when you're working with photographers. And if you like, you can just go to the website howtomodel.com, and there's information under workshops, and just click on the private coaching session. But you know, it's an interesting thing, because sometimes people don't really appreciate this area that much, and everybody does think about New York and Chicago and LA and Miami, but a lot of people really don't realize that actually, we are, I think, the third largest market for industrial films in the United States. And I know you were talking earlier about doing this military training film. I used to be able to make a living just off of doing industrial films. And industrial films, in case people aren't 100% sure what they are, they're also called educational films, industrial films, corporate films. It's all the same thing. And these are teaching films, and it can run the gamut from sometimes you will be talking about diesel engines, even if you don't know anything about them, for the United States Navy. I've done suicide films. Matter of fact, there was one. It's kind of a funny story. This was when sexual harassment was just really being discussed in the workplace. And I got hired by the Pentagon because they were doing a sexual harassment film. And I guess because everybody had to be very politically correct, they did one film where there was a guy who was harassing the women in the workplace. And, they were talking about how, this is just outrageous behavior, and this is what you should do if these things start happening. So I got hired to be in a film for the Pentagon where I was being harassed by women, and these women are all climbing all over the table and touching my hair and telling me we got to go out for lunch sometime, and I'm working too hard, I need to relax more. And so anyhow, that was a very fun day at work. But
you loved it.
Absolutely, I had a great time. And I'm going to show that to my wife one day too. It was a lot of fun, but not quite yet. It's only been like 15 years, I think. But this market, it's wonderful that. And so when you were talking about trying to get work in this area, that's why. I mean, this area is really good. It's true. It's a secondary market, but a lot of people don't realize how much work really is available around here in a lot of the different areas, from commercial modeling to industrial films and radio spots and narrations, and certainly the TV and film, it's nothing like New York or LA. But for me, and it's kind of like, Kristen, is what you were saying, I mean, I love doing commercials as well. And what a lot of people don't realize is that even though you might hear about certain actors, making $1 million an episode on network TV, or actors making $20, $30, $40 million in a feature film, actually, union actors make more money from television commercials, because that's where a lot of very serious money can be made. And that is, and look, I'm not here just to kind of wave union flags. I am a member of SAG-AFTRA, and I'm a vested member, so I've got a pension, set up for me and all that stuff. But one of the advantages, and there are a lot, but one of the advantages is that when you do a and maybe you guys can answer this for me, but this is what I've always been told. When you do a non-union TV commercial, you get a session fee for the day, but that's it, correct? I mean, you don't get residuals from your...
That's correct.
That's what I've always been told. One of the beauties of doing a union TV commercial is not only do you get your $597 for your eight-hour day, but there's also something called units. And every city has a certain amount of units attached to it, and the larger the city, the more units that you get. And so you get paid your session fee plus the units of where that commercial is running. So if your commercial is running in New York, LA, or Chicago, which has the most units attached to it, you're going to make more money. And then here's the neat part. Every 13 weeks, that the commercial is running, one of a few things will happen. If the company decides they want to renew it and continue to air that TV commercial, you will get a residual check. And that residual check consists of your session fee plus the units that it's running in. And I know at least a couple of people, I've never been in this situation, unfortunately, but I know a couple of people who've made $250,000 from one television commercial, one day of work.
Wow.
Now, a lot of things have to be going right for you. I mean, number one, you've got to be called in to read for a national spot. That's number one. Two, you've got to book it, which is very hard. And then three, it's got to run for many, many, many years. I mean, you're not going to get that from 1 year. And the other reason why it's harder to get these national spots today is because a lot of very famous actors do TV commercials, whereas years ago you would never find a famous film actor doing a TV commercial because it was beneath them. But now, you know, Jerry Seinfeld is doing American Express, and Michael Douglas is doing voiceovers for Lexus. You know, and you've got all these famous people doing spots, so it's harder for just, you know, regular folks to do it. But anyhow, getting work in this area is great, and it is true. There aren't, like, a whole lot of different agents, but there are agents in this area that you can go through. But you can also learn how to market yourself as well. And since everybody freelances around here, you don't have to sign with an agent. You can market yourself and try to get work on your own, and there are many, many ways of doing that. And when you're, you know, talking about commercial modeling before, a lot of people don't realize as long as you've got a great composite sheet, and they're also called comp cards or Zed cards on the West Coast, but that's what models, that's their business card, and you might have, it could run the gamut. You might have one photo on the front and four on the back. You could have five photos on the front, none on the back. But the point is, you've got to have great commercial shots. And that's the kind of information that I talk about in my book and in my private coaching sessions. It's really teaching people how to do that. But once you've got great pictures, you should be marketing yourself to photographers. You should be marketing yourself to art and creative directors at advertising agencies. And if you're interested in getting more acting work, you know, if you got a great headshot, you know, start sending it out to producers on your own, and even to the art and creative directors, because sometimes they're the ones who will make the decision as to which either commercial model gets hired or which actor gets hired for the TV spot. So this, you know, really gives us an opportunity to market ourselves really well. And I spent about 4 years in this area before I decided that I was ready, I had enough experience, my portfolio was strong enough, my resume was good enough to start moving into larger markets. And so, I mean, now I go to New York like tomorrow morning. I've got to get up to, like, I don't know, 5:15 and be up in New York for a go-see, which is the audition for models. But I waited a number of years before I started venturing into New York, because I didn't feel like I was ready. I didn't feel like I had the experience. But the Baltimore, Washington, Northern Virginia market gave me that kind of experience so that when I felt like I was ready, I was able to get representation up there.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
so my five-six-minute time slide? I don't want to, you know, kind of monopolize the entire thing.
Can I add something to the portfolio? This is Najiba. I just wanted to add something to the whole portfolio piece you were talking about, Aaron.
Yeah.
I just submitted to a casting today, and I can't remember the actual agency, but I can tell you that it was on dragonet.com.
Okay.
And they were looking for people that were runners and that were in great shape. So what I did was a couple months ago, I took a job because I do acting, modeling, and singing. I took a job where a freelance photographer was looking for some runners for a shoot to develop his portfolio, because that was his direction that he was going in, with doing sports photographs. So here I am with all of these photographs of me running, and I just kept the best ones that I thought were really nice, and I submitted my running photos to this particular casting, and although they did not ask for running photos, those were the ones that I submitted, and I was not available for the particular date that they wanted to shoot the actual print. But I did get a response, and that was the only response that I got, was that I was, you know, that the day that I wanted to submit for, that they weren't shooting that particular scene for that particular date. But to me, that was still a good response. It wasn't like, no, we don't like you. No, we don't like your photos. So just to tell people out there that sometimes it's good to do, you know, free photos if it's something that you don't normally do. If you normally photograph well as a commercial print, you know, you just smile in all your photos and you just look like a regular girl, well, maybe try to do some gothic photos one day, or maybe try to do something where that's out of what you normally do, because you can use those photos to submit for different types of jobs.
Yeah, that's a very good point. And, you know, one thing, though, people do need to be careful of, and I never tell people whether they should or shouldn't do it. I can just give you the information, and then it's up to the individual to make the decision. But there's something called stock photography, and I don't know if that was the kind of shot that you were talking about, doing some free shots. I didn't know if they were stock shots or not. But,
yeah, like stock photography, yeah.
Yeah, one, I'll tell you, and I know people who've built an entire portfolio filled with stock shots, because those photos typically are going to be phenomenal. They have to look like ads, because that's how the stock photographers make their money. There are two potential problems when you do stock photography. One of them, unlike an ad where you will be told ahead of time exactly where it's going to run, what the product is, or who the company is, and then you can make the decision as to whether you are comfortable doing the ad or not. There are some actors and models that I know who will not do ads for cigarettes, for alcohol, for furs, for meat products, for gambling. I know somebody that they won't gamble. It's against their beliefs. So at least if you get a phone call about that, you can tell your agent, you know, thank you very much. I'm just not interested in supporting, you know, that calls or that company. But when you do a stock shot, you have no idea where your image is going to end up. And look, if you're doing a running shot, chances are you're not going to run into any kind of problems. And for most people, you don't run into problems. But, you know, it's also possible that somebody, you know, could be a very attractive woman, could end up in an ad campaign for some sexually transmitted disease. And the tagline could be, you know, who would ever imagine, you know, or, you know, it could be, you know, alcoholism. It could be child abuse. It could be anything. And you have no control, because you will sign a release form giving them permission to use it anywhere that they want and for any company. And you need to sign that, because that's how the photographer is going to make their money. So just, you know, I just wanted to let people know about that. Keep that in the back of your mind before you do stock photography. And once again, I'm not trying to scare people off, just letting people know about the realities. And the one other potential issue is, since you don't know where your ad is running, like, for instance, the SCOSY that I have in New York tomorrow, they asked me, it's a pharmaceutical ad, and they wanted to know if I have any conflicts with any ads for respiratory medication. Well, I know that I haven't done any respiratory medication ads, but if I had done a bunch of stock photography, I would have no idea. And I might say, well, to the best of my knowledge, I don't have anything that would be a conflict. And let's say some pharmaceutical company bought, you know, rented a stock shot of me, and all of a sudden they hire me to do this ad, and all of a sudden they find out I'm the face of their competitor. Well, there could be some real serious ramifications with that, especially with your agent not being very happy about it. So anyhow, you just have to keep that stuff in the back of your mind before, you know, anybody decides to do stock photography. But I can tell you, it is a phenomenal way to build up a portfolio. And yeah, it is good to have different types of shots. But just as a general rule, when you are putting together different commercial shots, you really want them to look like ads. That's really one of the tricks. And like you were saying, show a variety of expressions and emotions. Don't just show the exact same smiley shot, you know, and then have another smiley shot with different wardrobe, and then another smiley shot with a different background. you want to show that you're an actor and that you can give them many different kinds of looks, and that will keep the doors open for many different possibilities as well, because you want to bang people over their head with specific looks. So maybe you look sick, maybe you've got allergies, somebody just proposed to you, you just, you know, injured yourself running and it's a anti-inflammatory ad. There are so many different kinds of shots that people can put together, but, you know, just make them look like ads and show a variety of expressions and emotions.
Okay, Kristen, you're up.
Yeah,
got a question?
I agree with what she was saying, because I actually did submit I can't remember what the job was now. It was last month, and I didn't have any photos of myself in, like, business attire. You know, most of my commercial and modeling shots, most of my modeling shots were general commercial stuff and fashion. And so I had a friend of mine who is a full-time photographer. I said, what are you doing today? You know, let's go take some shots. We actually went to the airport, and I put on my business suit, brought accessories like attaché cases, and we actually took great photos that looked like ads. And I submitted for this particular job, and I don't think I've ever got called back so quickly after submitting on a job because the photo went with what they were looking for. So I agree with what was being said about having the versatility in your portfolio. One question I did have for you, Aaron, is how long did you work in as a non-union, you know, actor before you made the jump, or when did you, what made you choose to go ahead and make the jump to being union?
Well, I tell you, I was actually very, very fortunate, and the very first job I had was a union job. So I never had that kind of dilemma of trying to figure out when is it time? Because I guess it sounds like what you're asking is when is it really the right time to?
Well, right, correct. I'm actually SAG eligible, and but I always felt like for this area and like you, I didn't feel like I was really ready to like go to New York or whatever. And I feel like there's in this if I was going to stay in this area for a couple of years and keep doing my thing here, that I would have to really remain non-union, because it seemed to me to be more work non-union for me starting out.
Oh, you're right. No, there is. Unfortunately for me, that's true. And Philadelphia as well. There's probably more non-union work than there is union work. And I guess what I do tell people, and I'm assuming the union would feel comfortable with me saying this, but I wouldn't join so quickly. And
right.
Basically, you know, you just want to get a lot of experience. You want to practice auditioning. You want to practice, you know, have a lot of experience on sets, knowing what you're doing and, you know, taking acting classes and feeling comfortable. And once you get to that point and you feel like you're ready to make that jump, yeah, that would be a good time period to do it. But I wouldn't try to do it too quickly. And like, you know, I know plenty of people that have just decided to stay non-union the whole time, and you can get more work, but the only thing is typically you're not going to earn as much per job. So you might work, you know, maybe twice as much, but you still might not earn as much. You also get treated better when you're in the union. You also have more backing, like when I did an episode of West Wing and I wasn't paid the proper amount in overtime, and when the agent called, basically the production office said, well, you got a problem, go to the union because we haven't clocked out at a certain time, which wasn't accurate. And I got the union involved, and bingo, it happened, and I got paid properly. And, you know, if I wasn't in the union, I'm not going to hire an attorney and go after West Wing. So, you know, part of it is, like, are you trying to really make a serious run at doing this work? Because it's going to be costly now to join. It's gotten, you know, very expensive, and then you've got to really figure out, well, if you did join, is there, you know, is it financially feasible for you to do that, and does it make sense financially as well? Or if you're just looking at trying to work things on a very, very part-time basis, and then when things come along, you'll take it. Maybe that wouldn't be the right time, you know, for you to do it. But that's really something that you've got to make that decision as to when you want to. But it sounds like you've had some really neat experiences, though, which is wonderful.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun, and I'm following your, I guess, I feel your sentiment too, as far as you know, it's got to be a personal choice, and I want to be able to. I want it to be, you know, I don't want to say worth my money. I know it will be, but I have to kind of, I guess, weigh,
you know, how much, how full time I'm going to go with it and to recoup, you know, joining and all of that. But did you work long for, or I should ask, in this area, did you, as far as agencies go, were you ever with an agency? And if so, was it, were they always non-exclusive, or did you ever work exclusively?
You know, there was a time period, and this is many years ago, there was an agent who tried to kind of work almost like a manager, and we were paying her a monthly fee. There were a handful of us that were doing this. I thought it was an interesting concept, and basically she would personally promote us, and it kind of fizzled out. So in this area, they tried to do exclusivity at one time period, but it never worked. And in our area in particular, it's an unusual one in the sense that people wear multiple hats, unlike other areas where you might have an agent who also does casting. And then you've got casting directors who kind of work as agents, and they will call people in directly to audition and even book people directly, which that's not really what a casting director is supposed to do. You're supposed to have agents submit you to the casting director, and then you read, and then it gets sent to, you know, the director or the people at the ad agency. And so our market, it's a little bit unusual in that sense, but I guess in the other hand, it gives us the freedom to work with everybody. So, you know, there are some agents who have their own clients, and so you can be considered with them, and then other agents have their own clients, and you can be considered with them, which you wouldn't necessarily be able to do if everything was exclusive.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, the only agency that I know of is the THE Artist Agency in D.C.,
yes.
Which is really more fashion-oriented, and every once in a while I'll get a commercial modeling gig through them, but it's unusual because they're really known as the fashion agency in the area, and I think that sometimes they do ask people to sign an exclusive contract with them, but, you know, once again, they're kind of doing different things. It's really more fashion-oriented.
Yeah, I know people with them, one who is exclusive and one who's others who are non-exclusive. And the girl who's exclusive, it's only exclusive, obviously, to this area, so she does a lot of work, other work outside with that contract. So.
Yeah, and that's the way it is, because I am exclusive with some agents outside the area, like in Chicago. I only have one agent. I do not freelance, and basically the agent told me that if I wanted him to represent me, I can't work with any other agents in Chicago. And considering how far away it is, and since the chances of me booking jobs there are kind of slim anyway, I was perfectly happy doing that. But even in North Carolina, they don't want you to multi-list, partially because some of the larger casting directors, like the Finn Cannons, who do the majority of the casting in North Carolina, they also do casting in Atlanta and also in New Orleans. Basically, they've made it very clear that if, you know, multiple agents submit the same actor's headshot, they'll just throw them all away. Because then they don't know, well, which agent do I contact to get this particular actor? And they don't want to upset any of the agents, so they just will throw it away. And even in Philadelphia, they handle it that way as well, like Diane Heary. And when Mike Lennon was doing a lot of casting, they only wanted one agent to submit the talent to them. They didn't want, you know, many different agents submitting the same person. So there are some areas that really want to work that way, and I completely I understand it. So that's one of the advantages of this area, because, you know, we can freelance with everybody.
Right. Thank you.
Sure.
That was actually something. This is Najiba again. That was actually something that I ran into when I did the military industrial. Was that I was submitted by two different agencies, and the first agencies that submitted me, it's kind of weird. They couldn't get me booked for the job. But the second agency that submitted me, they did get me booked. And then of course the first agency found out that I was booked, and they wanted to know what happened. And it wasn't a big deal, but. That's something that because I'm not exclusive with any particular agent.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that I really don't know how to avoid at this point, because I do submit to jobs. I just submit to jobs. I don't submit to agencies. I submit to jobs, you know, as they come. So whoever, you know, whatever agent, you know, decides to submit me for that particular, you know, role, you know, if I get it, then I get it. And that's how I look at it. But, you know, I don't totally see it as something that could be bad for me, but I guess that it could be, you know,
kind of that way. And, you know,
it
might have happened. And, like, I mean, ultimately, I have no idea. But what could have happened, and I had this complaint with an agent one time who basically stopped submitting me for work. It wasn't in this area. It was another market. And I contacted her at one point, and I was just saying, you know, I haven't heard from you for a while. And what she said to me was, she said, look, you work with some of the other agents in the area. And I said, yeah, I mean, I freelance. And she said, see, that's a problem for me, because what will happen, not for union acting jobs, because those, there's like a certain scale pay that, you know, everybody will get, but especially for modeling, but this might be the same thing for you. What happens is, she said, look, I will submit you for a project, and then I'll have another agent down the street submit you for a project and underbid me. And so I'll lose out on the job. The other agent will book you. And she said, look, I got tired of continuing to send you out, and you're getting booked with other people. So if you want to work with me, you can't work with the other people. So I'm just kind of wondering. I wonder if the first agent that submitted you got underbid by another agent, and that's why they booked you through, you know, the second agent.
Yeah, I didn't think of it that way.
I have no idea, but that's just one thing that came off the top of my head. I mean, if they wanted you, then why wouldn't the first agent who submitted you have gotten the job?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was really odd. It was really odd. And then, of course, the first agent was, like, kind of upset because she didn't get to, you know, receive the payment for the work that I did. And, I mean, it was a speaking role, so, I mean, it would have been, you know, really good for her, but
yeah.
I don't know. So
I ran into that exact situation today with this Go See Tomorrow. Two different agents called me for the same thing, and it's very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And yet
the first agent did say that based on the pictures that I submitted, that I looked old for the part.
Uh-huh.
But, I don't know. You never know. You know, what they tell you and what really is happening behind the scenes, you never know. Is it really what they're telling you? I don't know. But I know that it's the same pictures, same resume, same, you know, it's the same person. So I don't know why I would be older one day and just right the next day. I don't know.
Well, you know, the crazy thing is, and that's why it's so hard to take anything personally in this business, it's also possible that maybe initially they thought, yeah, she's a little too old for this, and then maybe they booked some other talent. And then compared to the other talent, maybe you start looking a lot younger, you know, and they start saying, hey, well, maybe she'll fit into this now. She does look younger here. Or maybe, you know, the client changed their mind and said, you know, we really need somebody who looks a little bit older, and then there you were. So who knows? And that's why, you know, you walk out of an audition and, you know, for people, when I've seen people walk out of auditions and they go, yeah, I nailed it. You know, you all might as well leave. No need to go in an audition because I know I booked it. I was perfect. You know, that's just silly stuff because there's so many factors that go into booking the job and not booking the job. And quite often it has nothing to do with how great of an audition it was. I mean, certainly if you're going to book the job, there's got to be a certain level of professionalism. But, you know, sometimes people book the job because they're too tall, you know, they're tall or maybe they're short and they get it. Maybe your body is perfect and that's why you get it. Maybe you don't get it because your body is perfect. Maybe, you know, you don't look like the parents who were, you know, already booked, and sometimes you do look like the parents. Yeah, who knows? There are a million.
We're coming up on a minute. I hate to cut you off there. We're coming up on a minute. So, Kristen, why don't you put your website and information out there.
Well, I don't have a website right now. I need to probably get a website, but I'm working on my demo reel. So I want to, if I have a website, I want to be able to have links to demo reels and things of that nature. But and you can find me on Facebook, I guess, Kristen Thompson. And
I'm also on Dragonek, and I have an open profile there, so.
Okay, Najiba?
My website is NajibaAlmahdi.com. That's NajibaAlmahdi, and that's my original birth name, .com.
And mine's just howtomodel.com, HOWTOMODEL.com. You can follow me on, join me on Facebook. It's facebook.com/howtomodel. On Twitter, it's Aaron, A-A-R-O-N, R, Marcus, M-A-R-C-U-S, and I send out tweets to people about information, but also all the information about my coaching sessions. Just click on the workshop link on howtomodel.com, and there's a little link talking about private coaching sessions, and hey, this was fun. William, thanks so much for inviting me. I appreciate it.
Okay, man. I just want to thank everybody else for calling in. Thank you, Kristen. Thank you, Najiba. Nada, you did a great job tonight, as always. And Aaron, just thank you again. And I want
sure.
to tell all my listeners out there to do something for your career every single day and break a leg. Okay, good night, everybody.
Good night. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Bye.